So they scoffed. But Telemachus headed down to his father's storeroom, broad and vaulted, piled high with gold and bronze, chests packed with clothing, vats of redolent oil. And there, standing in close ranks against the wall, were jars of seasoned mellow wine, holding the drink unmixed inside them, fit for a god, waiting the day Odysseus, worn by hardships, might come home again. Doors, snugly fitted, doubly hung, were bolted shut, and a housekeeper was in charge by night and day, her care, her vigilance, guarding all those treasures. Eurycleia, the daughter of Ops, Pisenor's son. Telemachus called her into the storeroom. Come, nurse. Draw me off some wine in smaller travelling jars. Mellow, the finest vintage you've been keeping, next to what you reserve for our unlucky king, in case Odysseus might drop in from the blue and cheat the deadly spirits. Make it home. Fill me an even dozen, seal them tightly. Pour me barley in well-stitched leather bags. 20 measures of meal, your stone-ground best, but no one else must know. These rations now, put them all together. I'll pick them up myself toward evening, just about the time that mother climbs to her room and thinks of turning in. I'm sailing off to Sparta, sandy Pylos too, for news of my dear father's journey home. Perhaps I'll catch some rumour. A wail of grief, and his fond old nurse burst out in protest, sobbing. Why? Dear child, what craziness got into your head? Why bent on rambling over the face of the earth? A darling only son? Your father's worlds away, God's own Odysseus. Dead in some strange land. And these brutes here, just wait the moment you're gone. They'll all be scheming against you. Kill you by guile, they will, and carve your birthright up in pieces. No, sit tight here. Guard your own things here. Don't go roving over the barren salt sea. No need to suffer so. Courage, old woman, thoughtful Telemachus tried to reassure her. There's a god who made this plan. But swear you won't say anything to my mother. Not till 10 or 12 days have passed, or she misses me herself and learns I'm gone. She mustn't mar her lovely face with tears. The old one swore a solemn oath to the gods, and vowing she would never breathe a word, quickly drew off wine in 2-eared jars and poured barley in well-stitched leather bags. Telemachus returned to the hall and joined the suitors. Then bright-eyed Pallas thought of one more step. Disguised as the prince, the goddess roamed through town, pausing beside each likely crewman, giving orders. Gather beside our ship at nightfall. Be there. She asked Noemon, Phronius' generous son, to lend her a swift ship. He gladly volunteered. The sun sank and the roads of the world grew dark. Now the goddess hauled the swift ship down to the water, stowed in her all the tackle well-rigged vessels carry, moored her well away at the harbour's very mouth, and once the crew had gathered, rallying round, she heartened every man. Then bright-eyed Pallas thought of one last thing. Back she went to King Odysseus's halls, and there she showered sweet oblivion over the suitors, dazing them as they drank, knocking cups from hands. No more loitering now, their eyes weighed down with sleep, they rose and groped through town to find their beds. But calling the prince outside his timbered halls, taking the build and voice of Mentor once again, flashing-eyed Athena urged him on. Telemachus, your comrades-at-arms are ready at the oars, waiting for your command to launch, so come, on with our voyage now, we're wasting time. And Pallas Athena sped away in the lead as he followed in her footsteps, man and goddess. Once they reached the ship at the water's edge, they found their long-haired shipmates on the beach. The prince, inspired, gave his first commands. Come, friends, get the rations aboard. They're piled in the palace now. My mother knows nothing of this, no servants either.